We certainly live in turbulent times, and one of the things that people all over are asking is, what is going on and what is God saying? Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast, where we deal with these kind of issues, trying to understand what God is saying and how we should live. Well, today my guest is Lance Wallnau. He has been an outspoken leader in the body of Christ. He kind of bridges from the business community to the ministry community. In 2016, he wrote a book called God's Chaos Candidate about Donald Trump and said that he believed that God was raising up Donald Trump like Cyrus, who was a pagan king who helped the children of Israel go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Well, today we're going to talk about what's going on. Not so much about Donald Trump per se. This is not really political, but this is, how can we understand the prophetic and what is God saying? Not in a predictive kind of way, but in a general kind of way. You don't want to miss my conversation. Stay tuned. Lance Wallnau, thanks for being on my podcast. And I have an important question that I believe many in the body of Christ are asking. What are you hearing from God in this season?
Well, you know, Steve, in the midst of all the dystopian and clickbait intense news cycles, and of course, nothing like an election year during the apocalypse to stimulate that, the thing that the Lord's been telling me is rather remarkable. He's saying, right out of the book of Acts, quoting from Habakkuk, "Behold, I am doing a work you would not believe if someone was to declare it to you." Well, right away, I step back and I say, well, wait a second, Lord. You're doing something that me as a charismatic, as a Pentecostal, with a seven mountain worldview, I would be amazed at. And I started looking at what's going on in the world, Stephen. And I saw that we got 50 elections happening. A shift is happening in the cosmic consciousness of the globe. And elites are being pushed back on as God is solidifying a movement for the harvest. I believe it's a populist movement. And it's a window of grace, and I think it's coming to America.
Well, you're right about what's happening in Europe, which we consider much less Christian, much more left-wing, usually.
Totally.
And the elections last week were just astounding. And then, of course, we saw it in Argentina.
And El Salvador. I mean, my gosh, we have a president down there that's a Christian, does his interview with Tucker, and says, here's how we're turning the nation around. We've gone from the murder capital of the world to the most safe country in the world. He locked up all of MS-13. And Tucker said, well, how did you do it? He said, first we prayed. And Tucker goes, pray? He said, no, but that wasn't it. He said, you had to get a strategy. He goes, yes, that was what we prayed for. Wisdom. And Tucker's like, I believe you, but this sounds hard to believe. Bam. God's raising up leaders. If we will pray, God will give us leaders that will navigate sovereign nations, those nations that have Christian covenant and Christian power. We will shift the heavens. I believe that completely.
You know, I wrote an op-ed this week about the end of time and how we have to believe that the Holy Spirit leads us no matter how bad it is, which is tangential to what you're talking about. But I get a feeling in the circles that I move in that people almost feel hopeless. You know, we've been seeing this leftward movement for at least 100 years. You can track it all the way back to Woodrow Wilson and maybe before that. And we've been losing little by little by little. And I feel like a lot of Christians are just kind of throwing up their hands. I mean, you know, in 2016, it looked like Donald Trump, the chaos candidate.
Yes.
A catchy phrase that you came up with. It looked like there was a reprieve. And then there were all these prophecies that Trump would be in for two terms. That did not happen. We had all kinds of prophets saying that the House of Representatives was going to turn it around or all kinds of things. I didn't keep track of all the stuff they were saying that didn't happen. And now with this election cycle, I just see a lot of people not even hardly interested. I mean, they're concerned about the country, but what difference does it make? What do you think?
Yeah, well, the prophets are having post-prophetic trauma. or bananas after a world war. Because a lot, here's the deal. Let me be honest with you, Stephen. A lot of people jumped into the political prophetic arena because it builds. It's like crack. You know, when you have clicks and you've got an audience and you've got cash flow and you have notoriety and you struggle in anonymity for so long, and then you found out that with a camera you can prophesy to an unknown audience and have hundreds of thousands of people hanging on your next word, it produces a temptation that most adolescent prophetic ministries that didn't have that big a thing to start with fell into. Now, Cindy Jacobs, Chuck Pierce, Dud Sheets, you'll notice those that have already gone through those seasons where they might have prophesied a president and it didn't work out and then they recovered. The seasoned prophets were not all bringing out the pillows and the pom-poms about Donald Trump. It was a lot of new prophetic voices, but they kept on prophesying. That was their mistake. They should have just got quiet. When Trump lost, the verse that God gave me was David with Bathsheba. I mean, the baby is dead and he's praying and he's fasting and he's miserable and he's glitched. And that everybody looked at him and thought he's going to lose his mind when he finds out the baby's dead. And as soon as he heard it, he washed himself, he shaved himself, and he worshiped. I knew that when the election wasn't given to Trump, God was doing something. Now, what God was doing, I didn't know. I had a very intimate time of prayer going, Lord, if this man isn't there, I know enough about the world order to know. Our economy will tank, our military will be humiliated, and our freedoms will be emasculated. This is not what you want. I didn't think God wanted to do it. Well, I think that since then, Stephen, the roots of our movement, which is citizen patriots, engaged Christians, have gotten stronger. The people that are getting weak are the people living on the prophetic fringe that don't want to get involved with politics. They don't want to get, they just want to have a revival without a reformation. And the move of God's moving past them and moving to the reformation people, who, by the way, we're in a revival. There's more life now than we've ever had before. The battle is intense. But when you're actually building what God's building, it puts an anointing on you that refreshes you while you're in the warfare.
Well, let's talk about this prophetic aspect of it, because, as you know, I wrote a book about it. The book, God and Donald Trump, was really my effort to put on the record what happened with this prophecy. Kim Clement is the first one that I was aware of, and he prophesied it long before Donald Trump had even shown up on the political scene, even as a possibility. And, you know, some of these things were kind of in code and you understood them in hindsight. And then you mentioned Chuck Pierce and some others. And then you came along and called Trump the chaos candidate. And I attribute to you the whole thing about Cyrus. Now, you may not have been the first one to compare him to Cyrus, but you were certainly the one that seemed to popularize that.
I was the first. It was news to me when I heard it, because what happened was I was with Kim meeting Trump in New York for the first time. Kim had a stroke and didn't show up. And when I got home, his gift, it happened for like about 30 days. His gift zapped over on me and I'm starting to hear voices. I thought I was under an attack because I'm hearing voices in my left ear. The next president of the United States will be Isaiah 45. The 45th president will be Isaiah 45. I'm going, oh my gosh, what is that? I looked it up in Isaiah. Isaiah 45 says, thus says the Lord to Cyrus. That's how I got that. I really realized later that Kim had a mission to proclaim something. I think the devil tried to take, well, the devil did take him out in a sense. He neutralized him. And then boom, an adolescent in this field suddenly is hearing stuff. And what I heard was that. And in 2015, I said, and the media will have a term. And I heard the words Trump derangement. And I wrote it and published it in 2015. I said, they're going to melt down and minds are going to blow up because they cannot handle the fact that God would use a person like that. Or let's put it this way. The church would have a problem with God using Trump. The world just has a problem with Trump, period.
I agree. And when you mentioned the media, I recently talked to Lauren Green at Fox, and we discussed the fact that Trump was the darling of the media when he was a New York billionaire, so-called playboy. you know, he was in all the magazines and all the TV shows. He had his own celebrity TV show. They loved him. They had no problem with his personality, with his lifestyle. It was only when he ran for office as a conservative that they started having a problem with him. And so I think it's interesting. And the reason I wrote the book is because there are too many prophecies, even ones that come true, they're not that well documented, or they're not that well known because the media doesn't play it up. And I felt that this was something that was prophesied. It actually happened. And I wanted to give God the glory. And but it was interesting that since then, especially with the second time around, you're right. A lot of people jumped on the bandwagon. I don't hear a lot of prophecy now about the next election. What do you hear?
Well, I believe they're wise, because this is going to offend some prophets, I'm sure. But I don't think God is telling people, because I think that we end up becoming, and here the word adolescence comes back again. We put our hope and our confidence in, is Trump going to be president? Well, I think that's a smart assessment. If he is not in office, Stephen, if he does not go in, I do the economics. I work with the economic field. The data says that we are now $1 trillion over budget on our credit card nationally. We are paying more in interest than we are for the national defense. And that's going to only exacerbate. We're going to probably have a serious meltdown going on in the next year. And if we don't actually recover our supply side ability to manufacture and keep up with our debt and start to rein in the debt, by 2024 and 2025, it's over. You can't catch up. At that point, it's almost like you cut the limb off of the tree. It may still be green, but from that day, it's dying. The BRICS nations, 40 nations, are all getting away from the dollar as fast as they can. They see we're a house on fire. So there's this realization that we have to have God's intervention, Steve. That's why I get frustrated. And when I hear about people don't want to talk about politics, what in the world are you talking about? The Antichrist spirit is taking over government. Where you don't resist the devil, you're inviting him to control you. Will control your speech, will control your freedom. They're going after Gateway Pundit. They've completely annihilated Alex Jones, you know? Russell Brand was the darling of the left until he started going conservative. Then they come out with all this, you know, stories about him. They're locking up Peter Navarro. They've already locked up Peter Navarro. They're locking up Steve Bannon. They want to lock up Donald Trump. They're going to announce it 3 days or 4 days before the national convention. I think they're going to try to lock him up so that they could say you've got a convicted felon behind bars that we're letting out to go talk to you. And this tells us that for you as a Christian to say, well, I don't want to get involved with this, so divisive, you're dealing with the survival of your own church, your own freedom, your own future. And I really believe everything's on the table right now. That's why I'm 100% in the Holy Ghost, in revival, and in reformation. And God's calling a line in the sand is going to happen this year. Either those prophecies about Trump with two terms are going to be fulfilled, or we're going to see America going from a divine discipline, I'm sorry to say, into a judgment cycle. That doesn't mean we can't have revival. Doesn't mean we can't have extraordinary experiences. It means it's not God's plan, but he'll help you survive. That's how serious this is, which is why I'm so incensed even with the preachers and the pastors who are being very coy now. You know what they do? We do these tours. Charlie Kirk does them. I do them. And we'll have like 4, 5, 10. He had 10,000. We've had like up to 5,000. And I find that a lot of pastors that don't associate with us don't say anything against us. And I realize, oh my gosh, they're like politicians. They don't want to alienate anybody, so they're just ignoring the whole conversation. So if you're around leaders that aren't talking about what's happening prophetically around the world and what's happening in the United States, I think you're in the orbit of people that are dulling your hearing.
Well, I agree with you entirely, but I'd like you to articulate what the answer is. What can the person who's watching or listening, what can they do or say? How can they pray? How can they get active? What advice do you have when you go around on these tours?
Well, it's a great question. And so part of the answer is we are saying there's only two things that you can focus on right now that'll make a difference in moving the needle. Apart from prayer, I just had Lou Engel on yesterday. We got a million woman, million man march on the mall. You know, we're not calling it a march, but we keep calling it that. And it's on Yom Kippur, the high holy day, to cry out to God for mercy for America. That's the spiritual part. So I'm totally full tilt Pentecostal on intercession, prayer, and act. The other part is it all comes down to getting out the vote and stopping illegal votes. Those are the only two things that matter. And every state has its own apparatus for how it does that. But I've got a guy that I've been working with named Dr. Richards, who has this thing called Eagle AI. And Steve, what that does is it takes my more geriatric age group. So I realize my people are like 50, 60, 70. So they're a little older in terms of that group that I relate to. But they will, if they have Excel ability, we could hook them up so that from their home, they could block 100, 200, 300, or 400 fake votes from showing up. And when an election is determined by 40 to 100,000 votes out of four or five swing states, you might be able to affect the future right from your desk doing what you're doing. The other thing is the get out the vote effort. I grabbed a tool, which I think you can download it now as an app called As One America. As One America. My gosh, Stephen, it gives you access, the location of your neighbors who are low propensity Christians, meaning they might vote, they might not, they might be, I've had it, I don't want to get involved with politics, it's the end times, you can't trust the election anyway. But those votes that are in your own backyard are just a matter of a phone call or a letter. You can write a letter. We even can write a letter. We'll pay the postage. I got guys that will pay the postage. Write a letter and encourage your neighbors and say, I've been thinking about you. I'm in the same community. It's so important that you make a difference. And I just felt led to tell you, your vote makes a difference. You need to show up. That a little step like that from your home, and you can affect history.
That's great. In fact, before we wrap up, I want you to tell my viewers how they can connect with you and your podcast, how they can see you on the Victory Channel, the many things you're doing. But also be sure to repeat that, because I want people, listen, I'm going to get that app. I'm going to do my part, even though I have a platform and am involved in different ways. I want to get involved in my own neighborhood. And also, can't people volunteer to be poll watchers?
Oh, of course, yes. And that's what the app does. It says, how do you become a poll watcher? How do you write a letter to I will pay the postage. I'll even pay the postage. How do you find the neighbor? I'm going to give you the phone number. How's that? You can call them, invite them over for coffee, be a good neighbor. Most of these people are Christian conservatives anyway. And Stephen, what I'll do is I'll put this podcast on that app. It's called As One America. When this comes out, I'm going to feature at the top of the app, because I can feature conversations, because I'm trying to keep our tribe motivated and focused. As One America, go to your app store. Now, my broadcasts are lancewalnut.com/podcast, because I'm all over the internet. If they shut me down here, I pop up over there. It's like whack-a-mole. But if you go to lancewalnut.com/podcast, you catch me on Real America's Voice right after Bannon on the weekend. And they're locking him up, and I'm mad about that, Stephen. I mean, there's a great man with a fake January 6th committee hearing. He stood up to them. He said, you know, you guys wouldn't even allow one voice to speak up in defense of what we believe was going on that day. And they're locking him up, and we have got to stand with the front line, because it's next man up. When they get locked up, the next guy's got to step up. And I take that personally, because I'm out in the public arena.
You know, you talk about, or we at least mentioned election fraud and that kind of thing. And I had an example up close and personal. It had to do with my late mother, whose vote was stolen. You know, this was obviously before she passed away, but I moved her to assisted living. And in doing so, she changed precincts. So even though she wasn't operating that well, I helped her. I picked her up, and we took her to the polling booth or the polling place. She went in with her ID, and they said she can't vote. And I said, why? Because she's already voted. Well, how'd she vote? She voted absentee. I said, Mother, did you vote? Well, she didn't think she could. At that point, Lance, she didn't have it together enough to fill out a ballot, find a stamp, and find the mailbox to mail it. Somebody, they had sent unsolicited ballots to her senior citizen place. Somebody had harvested them, voted for her, and they did not expect somebody like me to show up. Brother. And there was nothing I could do. You know, I wrote letters to the officials in my county, and I live in a conservative part of the state of Florida, and nobody seemed interested in one little old lady's vote being stolen. And I just saw up close and personal that this has happened. We have to be diligent not to let it happen. And, I felt that I should say that. Maybe it'll encourage someone to be more careful about votes being stolen.
Then you can do something about, I mean, what's really sad about that is not only was your mother's vote stolen, but for all you know, she's going to keep on voting. So you got to check on that. And yeah, I'll tell you what, and in some states, in Michigan, we took 100,000 names off, and the corrupt government, sorry to say, the Democrat side, reinstated the names. This is after you purge the names. They say, yeah, we know, but we're going to put them back in. And so you have to literally be in the battle. And then at the same time, we have to be buoyant, because what I've learned is you can only fight as strong as you have joy. So that's why I think there's a revival. The prophetic pattern, Stephen, my final thought is don't look for the prophecy that's predictive. That's not where the prophetic anointing is right now. Look for the prophetic pattern of what God is doing, because then you're going to be looking in the direction where the Spirit's moving. Cyrus was a world ruler, like Bolsonaro that rose up, like Trump that rose up, but now you've got Bukele, you've got in Australia, like you said, in Argentina, we have a brilliant with a president now. We have Viktor Orban in Hungary, we have Poland. God's raising up Cyrus rulers. Stephen, when the Cyruses came up, what happened next was God focused on rebuilding his ecclesia. There is a church project going on right now, and I believe one of the great things that people aren't talking about is the shaking of the church. We're seeing it with prominent and well-known leaders that are being brought into the public gaze for things 30 years old or so. But the shaking is happening in the ecclesia. Satan wants to shake the church, but God is using it to build a new church. The Jews went from Cyrus to rebuilding the house for the nation. It was a national temple. And then out of that, the walls and gates got restored. It's not happening all over the country, but boy, it's happening right now in counties and in cities and in states where people are gathering together and taking back their school boards. They're taking back their personal liberty. And that's the global movement that is happening electorally. I think we're going to see the walls and gates and the temple or the ecclesia rising up this year.
Well, Lance, I would just want to thank you for being so outspoken and bringing a lot of meaning to this. I've been in settings where you've shared the Seven Mountain thing, and it's, you could almost see the light bulbs going off in people's minds. And the Lord has given you a gift and a talent, and you've done so much good. And I just want to say how much I appreciate you. And do you have a closing word? And then I'll be back with a few thoughts at the end.
Yeah, I want to thank you for what you're doing, Steve. You were a pioneer in Christian media. You looked at the media mountain and said, what's needed for the church? I was with Dinesh D'Souza a week ago. He said, Lance, and Jordan Peterson said the same thing. What we need to do is realize we will not change 400 liberally funded universities that have their Marxist curriculum. But you can create new digital universities that will rival them and be stronger than them. And so we need to create alternative systems. When Reformation rises up, God raises up another sphere to come against what won't change. And that new thing actually competes with and breaks up the old thing. So we have to be thinking in terms of the entrepreneurial, innovative spirit that is on the body of Christ. Now more than ever, you can't be disheartened because the doors are opening for opportunity.
Well, thanks for staying tuned. I hope you enjoyed what Lance had to say. I believe that he gave us a lot to think about and to pray about. And I wanted to call attention to a couple of the things that we mentioned. The purpose of the podcast, of course, was not to push my own books, but they are available. And if you followed the Strang Report, you know that I wrote God and Donald Trump. That was the one that we discussed. But I also wrote Trump Aftershock, about the seismic shifts that happened after Donald Trump was elected. And also God, Trump, and the 2020 election. This was about 4 years ago, but you know, a lot of the issues are still the same. This is available for a special price as a bundle on my website called stevestrangbooks.com. And while you're at it, you can pick up a copy of my newest book called Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, where I talk not about politics, not about Donald Trump, but what's happening, where it seems like we're speeding toward the end of time, but we have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, which is really the underlying theme of what I talked about with Lance today. He's going to send this out to his list because he felt it's important. I hope you do too. So I hope you'll share it with friends, post it on X or on Facebook or wherever you post on social media. And also, be sure to subscribe to the Strang Report. I'm encouraged every time I'm given a report because the number of subscriptions is going up. And remember to tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of the Strang Report. Until then, God bless you.